Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. In today's show, I'm joined by Tom Stewart, the founder and CEO of Sport Sheets, which is one of the hottest bondage brands on the market today. He's actually developed the most accessible and fun products that make it easy to keep your sex life exciting. So I think you're going to want to take some notes. And also we'll be answering your emails. I'm here with Menace. Thanks Hello. So much for listening. All right, people. It's time to introduce you to something that combines two of my favorite topics. Oral sex and lube. If you're not a fan of going down, I mean, no judgment. This is going to change the game for you. It's the brand new Gelato collection of flavored lubes from Joe. These gelato flavors are delicious. I'm talking dessert-worthy good. Choose from creme brulee, hazelnut, mint chocolate, salted caramel, and tiramisu. Use them one at a time or combine them to create your own recipe. I've tried them all, and they're amazing. Like all Joe products, the Gelato line is a premium lube you can trust. It's a flavored, water-based personal lubricant that is sugar-free, paraben-free, and the perfect addition to any and all forms of foreplay. So next time you're craving something sweet, skip the refrigerator and go straight to the bedroom. With Joe's Gelato Lube line, you are the dessert. Go to my site, click on the Gelato banner, or go to my store to shop the complete selection of Joe lubricants. There's a formulation for every occasion, trust me. So if you're ready to be dessert, order some gelato for yourself at sexwithemily.com today.
Into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's
got
to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, it feels so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com because there's so much happening on our website. Here's what you got to do. You got to subscribe to the podcast because it just makes your life so much easier because I know you all love listening to it. And however you listen, when you subscribe, you can rewind, right, Menace? You can just go back to where you were. It doesn't set you back to
yeah, you're obsessed with that lately.
I didn't know it. Do you know why? Because
yeah.
I didn't know.
Well,
because that would piss me off. There's certain podcasts I listen to, and I'm like, God damn it, I was at minute 18 and it had to go back.
Well, I mean, that's great and everything.
And it helps
but
us
what
too.
We really, really want is for you to rate the show and write a comment and just go to the Sex with Emily website because it's so great. It shows you all the different places that you can listen to the show.
Exactly.
So let's say you're on an app that you're not really a big fan of. You can go to the sexwithemily.com and click on
Google Play, SoundCloud, Spotify, all those fun
places. I'm addicted to SoundCloud.
I love SoundCloud.
Yeah, it's super easy.
Yeah, I love SoundCloud. Okay, that's cool. Do that and then subscribe to our newsletter, which you're going to want to do because this is what's happening this month. This September is we're celebrating Back to Sexual Confidence Month. So we're doing giveaways to help you have better sex, and it all starts with confidence. So if you haven't yet, which I'm sure you already do, but if you haven't, go to our Instagram and Twitter, which is Sex with Emily and Snapchat, and Facebook.com/sexwithemily. Sign up for our newsletter so you can hear all the details because I promise you we're giving away some cool stuff that will bring back your confidence and you'll just have killer sex, per usual, which is what I'm all about. And what else can you do? And shop. You can shop on our site. That's a good time.
No, the best thing is Ask Emily, too.
Ask Emily, right.
Where you have people that leave voicemails. That's great.
Oh, yeah, we got the voicemails. We got a number on there. Uh-huh. And every day we do update with blogs and videos.
Yeah,
it's just a good freaking time. It's a new way to distract yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to use your real name. Don't worry. You can even disguise your voice. That'd be hilarious.
That's true.
Also, when you write an email, please, when you write an email into the show, tell us your age so we know where you're at in life. Two, let us know where you are in the world. And three, how you listen to the show. That's all we ask.
That's all we ask.
That's it.
That's
it. Easy.
We just asked just a few things. And now it's all about you. So, you know.
Do it.
So what's up with Menace? What's with you, Menace?
I took a very long road trip from Los Angeles to Reno, Nevada.
Right.
Not Las Vegas this time. Reno, Nevada. Hung out with some family. That was great. They're saying that they're really rebuilding it there. So I don't know. It's maybe a great place for young people to go and meet other people and buy a house for like $50.
Yeah.
You know, they're calling it the new Portland.
I did not know this.
Well, look out, Reno.
I always think of Reno like on the way to Tahoe, I guess. And then it's always kind of sketch. I don't know.
No. It's great.
I also don't. I avoid snow and I never would go up there as much as everyone else in the Bay Area. So winters were fun. Okay, go to Reno.
Yeah, and again, like everybody in my family, it's like having babies and all this kind of crazy stuff.
Everybody.
Right?
How do you feel about that? Do you get the pressure? Were they all asking you when you're going to have a baby?
Oh, no, they don't ask me.
Never?
I think they kind of give up.
No one asks you anything. I don't ask you about your sex life, babies, sex life. I don't even know what the hell you do.
Any of that stuff. But, I have a funny story, though.
Go, tell me everything.
So I was up there for my dad's birthday, right? And so the whole family's getting together and stuff like that. But fast forward a year before that, my dad was in Tahoe. And if people don't know, there's lakes and rivers and all this kind of stuff. So he's in a kayak and he flips over the kayak. He loses his phone, right?
Okay.
Fast forward a year later, my sister is in Tahoe doing the same thing. She's in a kayak a couple feet into the water, flips over. And her phone goes in the water. Now, she's there with her friends, and they're, like, messed up, and they're drunk and high or whatever, right? So then she picks up her phone. It's, like, glitching and all this kind of stuff. So usually when people drop their phone in the water, they put it in a bunch of rice.
Right.
Well, since they're all messed up, they're like, oh, just buried in the sand. It works like rice. Well, how come they, like, go back and they can't even find the phone?
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
They never found it. And she's been, like, going through a nightmare trying to replace the phone.
That is hilarious.
Yeah,
That's bad. But you'd think she would have learned from your dad's experience.
Yeah.
Here's the thing about that rice thing. I mean, I don't know if that, does that really work? Because
it does.
Because I, one time, this happened to me. It was so annoying. It was about a year ago. And I was at my friend Anna's barbecue. And I was going to the bathroom. And it was in my back pocket. And it dropped in the toilet. I'm like,
oh,
God
no.
Damn it. So I come out. And it was a new phone. I was like, what do I do? And then everyone's looking around her cupboard. She's like, I only have quinoa. Like, and like her neighbor, sorry, I only have quinoa. Like, how LA is that nobody had goddamn rice? So I was like, well, I guess I'll just try the quinoa. And I put in quinoa, didn't work.
Nothing.
And then at a second party that day, like 2 hours later, because I'm so popular, it was like another I don't remember what it was. Another woman went to her house. I'm like, do you happen to have rice? She's like, just quinoa.
Quinoa?
Yeah, really? Like, what? How was that even? It's almost like you need baking soda in your refrigerator. You need like a box of rice for your phone, everyone. Yeah. Just in case I come over. Because so I might drop it. Have
been at any parties with any gentlemen lately?
Any parties with any gentlemen lately? Not really, no.
Nothing?
I've been at some fun parties with girlfriends.
Yeah.
Dinners and, yeah, I've had some. Seems like all your friends are having babies. A lot of my friends are getting divorced. So I'm actually having a lot of conversations about.
I have a lot of that too. A lot of people that just got married right out of high school and now they're getting divorced.
Exactly. So it's a lot of conversations about I don't even know how to date now. Mm. Or how do I, you know, show me your Snapchat. So show me your Bumble. Show me, you know, I'm reading people's profiles and like picking out the best pictures.
And 90% of all the divorces, at least in my age range or like people that I hung out with, they are getting divorced because of cheating. Because of social media.
It's true.
They're all
it's
getting
true.
Caught
Facebook,
up.
Because well,
guys
a study.
Are effing dumb and they can't cover their tracks.
I know.
You know?
It's, well, and women who cheat. Well, there's a study we were going to read. That
but they're
women,
way better at cheating.
No, women. They don't get caught. Like, women do not get caught cheating as much as men. And the number one, we've always said Facebook was like top five, but there was a study that came out that said Facebook was the number one reason that women cheat over men.
Facebook?
So everyone just close down their Facebook account if you're married. It's not good for you.
It's not going
to
help you.
One more thing I got to mention before we get into our amazing guest here is that I'm going to be in New York just soon. It's September 24th and 25th, the Sexual Health Expo in Brooklyn. And I'll be doing a live podcast on the 24th, Saturday at 1 p.m. You won't be there. I'm so sad.
I know. I'd love to be in New York.
But the Sexual Health Expo is awesome. They have workshops on a bunch of fun topics. Here's some of them. How to get out of your head and into role-playing. Digital dating. How to sext, Skype, and swipe your way to dating success. I should send all my friends there because I'm so tired of teaching them how to swipe. The female anatomy, which I know a lot of you could use some help with. And, of course, how to give a great blowjob. All that. So check it out. There's the She banner on my website. Click on it. Get tickets. It's going to be a good time. What?
No, I'm just wondering, like, which ex-boyfriend you're going to hook up with in New York.
Oh, I'm trying to. I don't have. I gotta stir up a whole new pot.
What?
I gotta start swiping. I don't have.
They're all
like. Maybe they're divorced by now. No, because they were married. No, I had a bunch of guys in New York, and then they got married, and then I like kind of lost touch. So maybe they're like, you know, I don't know what. But I think it would be a good time to like kind of mix up the rotation. Maybe I should put something on Facebook.
Do it. Say I'm coming to New York. What's hanging out?
What's up? Let's bang. Okay, so I want to get to our guest here because I'm really excited about him.
Do it. I am very interested.
But did I say, let me just make sure I said everything I have to say. Hold on a minute. I just, because this is, there's a point of no return because I love this guy and I'm just making sure we said it all. Okay. Hi, Tom. Tom is here. He's from Sport Sheets. And you're always asking me, how do I keep my sex life interesting? How do I talk to my partner about trying new things in the bedroom? Do we not get asked that question every day, Menace? Both of those questions.
Yeah.
So I'm excited because you're fascinating, Tom. He's the CEO and founder of the easy to kink it up bondage brand, Sport Sheets. So, and whenever, you know, people, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Thanks, Emily.
I'm so glad you're here. And I've always been a fan of your products. I don't know anybody who makes, it doesn't even matter who exists, who makes products like this, because people are so interested. A lot of our listeners just, how do I spice it up in the bedroom? Like, how do I start bondage? Like, do I need a dungeon? And I'm like, just get Sport Sheets because it's like Velcro cuffs. I mean, that's just tipping the iceberg with the products you have. But now you're here.
I'm here. This
welcome.
Is, this
is
beautiful.
This is so
thanks,
fun.
Man.
Yeah.
Good to meet you,
nice
too.
To meet you, too.
Well, we're going to get into all that fun stuff, but we got a little sex in the news first.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, is it sportsheets.com? Just so people can look at the website while they
thank
listen.
Thank you. It's sportsheets.com, and I can even tell you the social media is Twitter, Sportsheets, INTL, International. And Facebook is at Sportsheets, Instagram at Sportsheets. And this is all on our website as well.
Cool.
Okay. And we're actually shooting the show today. So there are going to be some clips coming out so you can check out the show and a lot of the stuff that we're talking about. Because I'm telling you, there's going to be some serious learning going on. Okay. Sex in the news. 1 in 5 people date non-monogamously. So millennials and dating non-monogamously, say that 10 times fast, more than any, millennials are dating non-monogamously more than any generation to come before us somehow. But polyamory or the practice of consenting open relationships still remains on the fringes of mainstream culture and discourse. So there's a new study, a wide-ranging study. 21% of people have experienced dating non-monogamously. And this was published in the Journal of Sex and Marital Therapy. And they clarified it. They defined it. And they said non-monogamy was defined as the participants, any relationship in which all partners agree that each may have romantic and or sexual relationships with other partners. So pretty much like you're dating around.
I think if you're just dating, and nowadays like people you are trying to do like the don't ask, don't tell.
Doesn't work for very long.
Kind of attitude. Yeah, it doesn't, because then eventually you're like, all right, well, what is this?
Right. Where are we at?
Then you either get the answer, well, I thought we were just dating, or two, yeah, let's, you know, let's do something.
Right. But now they're saying that people are more and more just like practicing polyamory, but they're not like saying they're polyamorous. So the study says like these numbers are really high. So why isn't the talk about polyamorous lifestyles like more, you know, into like social science circles and people aren't talking about it? So, yeah, I think that's really, I mean, I'm trying to think, because when I first thought about it, I said, well, is that really how you're defining? Because I think a lot of people are casually dating and they're not telling their partners that they're dating.
I like know one person that's like super open about it with their partner. Other than that, they're just like, I'm dating, you know, that's it.
But then I think that, I don't know. What do you think, Tom? Do you think that there's polyamories on the rise?
Well, I think people that are coming out of college have been hooking up all these years, and I don't think the hooking up thing has stopped.
It's not going anywhere.
Why stop if it's working for you, if it's a good thing?
Right, but I'm wondering if they're telling their, like, if they're being open about it, truly.
I don't think they were open in school. I think it's very difficult to say, hey, Susie, I was with Janie last night.
Right, exactly.
How do you feel about that?
Right.
Because, well, gee whiz, Susie, I'm with you tonight. Isn't that everything?
Right.
And I think this is an extension of the way dating's going in at the universities.
Right. I think so, too. And I think that just people just aren't... And I think the more honest you are, like, the more, you know, the more honest your relationship will follow. You'll be more likely to, you know, you're more honest. It's better to be honest always. But also, you don't know the intentions of your partner. They're probably in the same place you are. And you might as well just be open to it. I think people would have healthier relationships and figure out what they want rather than all the sneaking around. Because when you lie, it's hard to remember. And I remember dating in college several guys at once. I went through a period. And I remember it got confusing. Like, the hardest thing was, like, I told you. I'd be, like, telling him a story. I'd be like, remember, I told you that. And he'd be like, no, you didn't. And I'd be like, oh, right? Oops. So then I had to start saying, well, I think I might have already told you this, but, rather than making assumptions. Mm-hmm. It's like when you meet someone and you're like, instead of saying nice to meet you, say nice to see you. It's kind of that same thing. Right. So they're like, we already met.
When you and I were in college, there was no texting. So you couldn't, like, keep it in order.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. There was no texting. There was no...
You could file it all together and organize it.
It was a lot. It was a lot harder. Because now, you could just text and you can hit up 12 people at night and see who shows up for your... Who bites for your hooking up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Your, what's it called? Booty call. Okay. Yeah. That's what we got to say about that. Let's get into Tom. Okay. So, Tom.
Emily.
Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
I just am so excited that you're here and talk about your lovely products that you brought. But how did Sport Sheets get started? Because it really is a fascinating brand, I think. Tell me how it got started.
Well, we started this in our garage about 25 years ago. The idea for the very first product, the Sport Sheet, which is a Velcro compatible bondage bed sheet. That's what a Sport Sheet is. That idea came from the David Letterman show. Back in the late 80s, David was doing these demonstrations for Velcro, and his engineers had stitched Velcro on his like a jumpsuit, and he was showing all these different things you can do with Velcro. But the coolest thing was he jumped on a little trampoline and launched himself onto a Velcro wall.
I remember this. Do you remember this, Menace?
Stuck there. So I was in the Marine Corps then, and we're at the officers' club drinking beers and talking about women and sex, because that's what we did.
I'm sure.
And somebody said, did you see that Letterman episode the other night? And somebody said, yeah, we're stuck to the Velcro wall. And somebody said, wouldn't it be cool if you could stick your girlfriend to a Velcro wall and have sex with her? And all of us said, yes, that would be great. And you could peel her off and turn her upside down or turn her sideways. It'd be like sexual flypaper. Look, what a great idea. So this became sort of our inside joke.
Right.
And it was a joke.
Like, I want to Velcro that girl.
Yeah.
Right.
I want to, hey, you know, we'd nudge each other when we saw somebody hot and go, hey, Tom, Velcro her? Oh, yeah. Yeah, upside down. No,
the
she's
Marines,
sideways.
I get it. Mm-hmm, right?
So there was, this thing never died. This idea never went away. And we started bringing in the girlfriends and the wives and just said, hey, you know, if you could get tied up with Velcro, you're stuck to a Velcro wall, would you? And The whole thing was like, as long as I could get out.
Right, okay.
I'd give it a try. Mm-hmm. And so it was sort of like, I translated that into, as long as I had a safety net, sure, I'd be up for anything.
Right.
Which I think applies to life.
Totally.
You know, if you're up on a 6 foot, you know, balance beam or something like that.
Yeah.
If you're not going to fall that far, okay.
Right.
More, a lot more people will bungee off of a bridge if the bungee is attached.
Right.
A little safety line there, you know.
Makes sense.
So I decided that there was so much interest in this whole Velcro idea that I called the guy from Velcro.
There's like one guy at Velcro?
There is the guy from Velcro.
Oh, nice.
Oh my God, I wish I invented Velcro and Post-its.
I called the 800 number. You know, it's like 1-800-VELCRO-USA or something.
right.
Yeah.
So you're like in your 20s at this time? You're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And so,
it's hilarious.
So anyway, but before I called the guy, you know, we were talking about this Velcro wall, and then somebody suggested, well, what if it was a Velcro table? And then, you know, well, what about a pool table? You know, and then some genius said, well, what make a set of bed sheets? And that was when the light went off, mm-hmm. and I went, okay, there's something to this.
Okay.
And like I said, the joke just never, it just never went away. So that's when I called the guy from Velcro, and I said, hey, I got an idea. Don't hang up on me now, because right. this is like 25 years ago.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
When like bondage was in everybody's basement.
Right.
Not like it is now. And the guy started laughing when I told him. He says, that is the best application for Velcro I've ever heard in my life. I'll meet you next week.
Nice.
Could have gone so many different ways, yeah. but
yep.
right.
Yep. So I met this guy, and he showed me these two materials that we still use today on the sport sheet. And it was, you know, Velcro's hook and loop. It's got that kind of fuzzy stuff and the real right. scratchy stuff, and you put them together. And you can peel them apart, but you can't, like, pull them apart.
Right.
So this is how Velcro works. So one of the guys in the squadron, his wife, was a seamstress. And so she volunteered to sew the very first set of Velcro sheets that weren't right. even called sport sheets then.
Right.
So so Debbie sewed these things together. And we took a handcuff. We took a surf leash and turned them into handcuffs. Because, you know, we were on the beach and they were plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't hurt, and you could get them off really easily.
Right.
Velcro. It's like, man, it's easy on, easy off.
Not Velcro.
And so then we came up with this anchor pad thing that sticks anywhere to the surface of the bed sheet, and you connect your surf leash or your cuff, your wrist cuff, to the little pad that sticks anywhere on the sheet, and you can't pull it off the bed, but you can peel it up and get away.
Right, peel, not pull.
So you're only as tied up as you want to be. There's the safety net, and that was the thing that allowed most of the women that we talked to said, sure, I'll give it a try as long as I can get out. So we kind of kept that whole as long as I can get out mentality to most of the products that we make today. So Debbie sewed this set of sheets, and it worked. We couldn't believe it. It worked. And now we knew, okay, now what do we
do? Did you try it on someone? Were you like, who can I Velcro you
who's
up?
Who's going first?
There's got to be the first.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you, Joy, by the way. You know who you are. And Joy was a debutante, in her past life. And she said, okay, I'll give it a try. And there was like six of us in the bedroom when, you know, we said set this thing up. And she said, I'll give it a try. So we all hooked her up, and she's like spread eagle on this bed sheet.
Right. Naked or not naked? This was just
not
to see
naked,
if it worked.
Got
it.
Naked. Oh,
okay.
And
I get it.
So we got her spread eagle on the sport sheet. And she said, I said, okay, now pull. Like, try to get out. And she starts pulling. And the anchor pads don't move. The handcuffs.
Did you start to cry?
Oh,
you're
my
like,
God.
This is like your moment, right? You're like, when it.
I didn't know what.
Think about Steve Jobs and like
there
the
was
first
this,
computer
like,
when it. I remember watching the doc. It's like that same kind of thing. Yeah.
There was a silence in the room. And then Joy just, you know, she's like doing this ab crunch thing, trying to get out. And the bed sort of, you know, moving up and stuff. And so she sort of gives up in exhaustion. And then she starts cracking up, and everybody in the bedroom uh-huh. started laughing their asses off, and it was hysterical, and it was like, oh my God, this sort of like defining moment
right.
didn't end with anybody in tears. It was just, it was hysterical.
Right.
It was funny, and it was like uplifting, like sex should be,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
We're all about fun sex.
You should be
which
able
is what
to
today's
laugh
about.
At sex.
Exactly.
And there was such laughter from this. It's like, okay, the energy is too good on
it's
this.
It's amazing.
I got to pursue it. So I got some more material from Velcro. We got a place up in L.A. to start sewing some of these sheets. And then we thought, well, where do we sell these?
Right.
And that was...
There was no Target then. Not that they would take it.
That's true.
But no, right. Where
do
you?
There weren't that many sections.
No, they were like the ones that were all like on the side. Well, we're from Michigan.
Right.
So like, remember there was... What was it called? The one on the side of the road on the... I-75 was like some sketchy. You wouldn't go to the sex toy store. Is that right? Right. Okay.
Because they were like,
like you put quarters in the thing.
And peep shows.
Right.
Right. There were a couple down on
Pink Eight Mile. Lady, Dusty Lady, Pink Rabbit. What was it called? Do you know what I'm talking about? No. Okay. Keep going.
There were some on 8 Mile.
Right.
And Woodward right. and 8 Mile. Oh, God bless Detroit.
Yeah. Love Detroit.
And we, so anyway, we went to a show here in Los Angeles, and it was called Sensuality or something like that. And my brother met the guy from the Lifestyles organization, which was a swingers organization. He told him, he says, hey, we're having a big convention in like 30 days. There's going to be 300 couples at swingers. The LAX Hilton Swingers. You should come and sell this thing.
What better people to sell to?
So we didn't really know what a swinger was. You know, right. We'd heard about him, but, you know, I wasn't a swinger.
Right.
My brother wasn't. And so we thought, okay, 300 couples that are going to have sex, let's see if anybody will buy it.
Wow, okay.
So we took it and we set the sport sheet up in the little exhibit area, and it was the hit of the show. And we sold every single one.
Oh, my God. Awesome. That's amazing.
I think we only, like, brought 20. We didn't have any packaging or anything like that. It's just, here
so
it
did
is.
You have cuffs and stuff? That were you selling the cuffs with it, too? Or was the,
it came
with the cuffs that you made from the...
Yeah, it was a fully fitted sheet, and it, you know, king or queen, and we had four cuffs and four anchor pads, one for each arm and leg. So it was really cool. And the cool thing about the swingers was that they buy this set, like, on Friday night, take it upstairs to the room, do their party, and they come back down Saturday, and they say, oh, man, it was awesome. We had, you know, X, Y, and Z people on this thing, and but you need to make me this, and I need a blindfold, and I need a thing.
Oh, and I was going to ask you, how did you come up with the rest of the product? Because you have the blindfold. I mean, I always tell people, like, if you want to try kink, you're interested in it, I always say, just get the sport sheets, like the beginner kit, where you have, like, you know, the handcuffs, and you have the blindfold, and the ticklers, which is what you need. Oops, the feathers and the... with the paddles. So that's what they were telling you.
Yeah.
And you're like,
yeah.
I can make that.
We started off with one product and people said, I need more cuffs. And we're like, well, the set comes with four cuffs. How many more do you need? No, you don't understand.
The
I need
swingers
more cuffs.
Need like six sets of cuffs.
I love
okay?
these people. And
right.
So they're asking for all this extra product that we don't have. And I'm going, well, I don't make that. My brother's nudging me. He says, yeah, you do. Yeah, you do. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. We do. How many would you like? And that began the whole expansion of the product line. We started off with the sport sheet, the one product. Now we've got over 400.
Hey, you guys have so many products now. I was on your site. Yeah.
Where are you guys based out of? Here in Los Angeles?
Huntington Beach.
Oh, Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you guys kind of brought the S&M world or BDSM to the mainstream.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were really sort of, I guess, the heretics of BDSM back then because you could escape. You could get out of this. And
right, because it was like people this, think of it, there's a key, and what if you lose the key? And so right. There's like a safety to it.
There,
still.
Yeah, and a lot of the traditional, you know, restraints were, you know, once you tied your partner up, they couldn't get out unless you let them out.
Right.
And that was pretty much the thing that freaked people out about even trying bondage is like, man, I don't trust this guy or
right.
I don't trust her.
Exactly. We have that a lot of times, even when there's not bondage involved.
Yeah. No, the house burns down.
We met, though. So we've met a few times. But so, Tom, you know, I always go to my sex shows, my sex trade
yeah.
shows. So last year, we have some found footage that we should also post. But Tom, I was there, and producer Madison was there. And they had the coolest spread because they've got the sports sheets out, and they've got the cuffs. And he was like, come here. And he tried. Like, I'd never actually, I have the underbed restraints. I mean, I have some, you know, spreader bar. But I'd never tried the actual, like, sheets with you, the founder, on. And you were, like, tying me up. We've got video of the spreader bar, the whole thing. And you're quite a professional now. You've learned your skills since then, obviously.
And you're incredibly flexible.
I am flexible. I am flexible.
That was,
so
that
I was a good little model. But I was like, wow, this is really cool. And then I rode Madison with the doggy strap. The doggy
nice.
Step, that was a good time. But your whole slogan, like keeping couples connected and all that, like how people are like, well, but I'm not into like bond and stuff. Like, how do you still think this, you know, can expand to everybody? Like, because
well,
we know you have a lot of different things.
You know, our products primarily are started off as bondage. And then we started making strap-on harnesses. And then we made intercourse products like we have a product called the Doggy Style Strap,
right.
which
I do think, you know about this, Menace? There's a Doggy Style Strap.
No.
Okay, I'm sure you...
Tell me more.
Okay.
Well,
doggy Style
how's
Strap.
How's it work?
It's pretty freaking cool because people are like, you know sport sheets? Can you get me a Doggy Style Strap? But people always like, how does it work, Tom? You invented it.
Well, you tried this with Madison.
Right.
Right. Okay.
She loved it. She still talks about it every day. I'm going to start riding around the office with it just for fun.
The doggy style strap in a hetero relationship, you know, guy behind the woman, puts this strap with a pad. The pad's about 6 inches wide and about 12 inches long, and there's a nylon belt that goes on the outside of that. So it's very comfortable up against your skin, but it gives the guys handles on the end of the strap. They're loops, and you can adjust these, you know, for however big or small your arms are. And what it does is it you put it right above the woman's pubic bone,
mm-hmm.
not on her tummy, but right above her pubic bone. And as you go inside her and pull back like you're thrusting, your penis, the guy's penis actually goes in further. It actually compresses the vaginal canal a little bit. So it hits a different spot in the woman's vagina. And it is absolutely phenomenal. It will, and I claim this, and it's true, it will change the way your intercourse feels.
Wow.
Which is a pretty bold statement.
Yeah.
But we've been making this product for, I think, 15 years. And no one's ever called up and said, "No, the product doesn't work. It did not change."
No.
So really, so it helps the guys and the woman. Like, she's getting it in different spots, and he can like pull her in.
And you know, one of the coolest things is that you know, we've been to a lot of public sex shows, like the She coming up,
Sexual Health Expo. You guys are going to be there?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, because this is the one that's in New York, right?
Right.
Yeah, I'm banned from that state.
I'm sure.
But when we when we went to the show, I met this girl, and I had my sporty shirt on, and it was a young couple, maybe on like 21, 22 years old.
Menace.
And they came up and they said, "Sporty, oh my God, we have the doggy style strap. We use that every single time we dot, 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 dot." And it's like, you know, to meet an actual user.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, unprovoked or un...
Right.
Whatever.
No, people love, I mean, you guys have been around. I mean,
it's absolutely amazing. And the more people that I talk to about, you know, using this doggy style strap, the more people go, "Oh my God, yeah, it totally makes a difference." And there's not a lot of things that you can use for intercourse that'll actually make your intercourse different.
Right. And that's why, like, the G-spot link too. Like Menace's products, the strap, you know how many women email, like, "Can't find my G-spot." I think we do have a question about this, but it's like, it helps women, like the position, like these straps will help you, the G-spot link, get in the position so the G-spot orgasm happens. Like, there's nothing like this. Do you see?
No, well, cool. We were just talking about one of my coworkers. She's like, never had an orgasm.
Did you give her the vibrator?
I did.
I gave her, you're never going to talk about it.
No, I will.
You will not be like, "Hey, so did you have that orgasm?"
No,
yet?
She will. She'll tell me.
I gave her the WeVibe touch because I do like the touch.
So my coworker, she's never had an orgasm before. And then then Emily hooked her up with a toy to play around with. But this what you're talking about here is something that maybe that she should also try out.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Well, because she's, and she's married. Totally. Mm-hmm. We'll hook her up. When people have orgasms, I'm like, what can I do? What can I do? What do you mean never? Have you done this? Have you done that? Have you tried lube?
Have you tried everything?
Have you tried everything? Because there's so much to try.
Have you listened to the Sex with Emily podcast?
Exactly. Just do that for a minute. Go to the website. But Menace, you just reminded me, being on your show was super fun on the Woody Show. And then that podcast, people kept emailing and asking when that came out. And that came out with you and Woody visiting here last week.
That's awesome.
People loved it. We had a good time.
A lot of people loved it. And the time that you were on the Woody Show, I'm going to send you that audio so you can put it on a podcast later.
Perfect. We will do
when
that.
When you were on Terrestrial Radio and you have to talk nice.
And I did not mess up. You didn't use the dump button once.
No.
Menace and I met 10 years ago and we were doing this public radio.
You guys
radio,
go back that
public
far.
Radio. We do.
Yeah.
11 years.
Yeah, 11 years.
I was on a radio station in San Francisco.
Yeah, and she came from podcasting to Terrestrial Radio and... didn't know all the FCC guidelines, but now we're here in podcasting, so everything's all
good. It's amazing.
Good.
So that's all done.
Fuck it, shit. All
okay,
that.
Totally. Okay, so we're going to get some emails and some more questions. But first, we're going to give a big shout out to our sponsors, who we love, and thank you for supporting them. And we'll be right back. If there's something I've more of than toys, it's cosmetics, and it seems like I don't even use half of them. My makeup counter looks like, well, you can probably guess because I bet yours looks similar. Just when things seem totally out of control, the folks at Kopari asked me to try their line of multitasking beauty products. Kopari's products are made from 100% organic coconut oil, and unless you've been living under a rock, coconut oil is huge these days. Kopari's products are free of sulfates, silicones, GMOs, and parabens, none of which you want on your skin. I've been using Kopari's Balm, Scrub, and Body Glow for a while now, and I love them. But my favorite is Kopari's Organic Coconut Melt. It's amazing. Melt is great for your skin, no matter what you use it for. bath oil, shaving oil, massage oil, and it's not just for your skin. Kopari Coconut Milk makes a nourishing hair mask because it's packed with vitamin E and proteins that keep hair long, strong, and shiny. And it smells amazing. In fact, I wore it to my office last week and everyone's like, what smells so good? What smells so good? It's you. Yes, it was me. I smelled amazing because the melt, oh, it's delicious. Thanks to Kopari, my skin and hair look amazing and so does my counter. Sex with Emily listeners can now save 20% on Kopari products. Just go to KopariBeauty.com/Emily. That's KopariBeauty.com/Emily today. Okay, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for staying with us. I love this. I love your stories, Tom. Really? Listen to you all day?
Well, I like how like you kind of, you weren't a major company when you just started out and said, all right, I'm going to start crapping out a bunch of products. You actually had an idea. You brought it to the table and you made it happen, which is awesome. And now you have a bunch of other products. And I'm looking at a box right here, the one that's closest to me.
Oh.
Now, what is this? Now, is that a gentleman actually wearing a strap-on? Or what's going on with this? What's it called?
Good question, Menace.
Yeah. It's it's called the Everlaster Stud. It's actually it's a strap-on for guys with a hollow dildo on it.
Okay.
And it's for guys either with, who are having a hard time getting it up, or if after you have sex and your partner wants to keep going and you don't have an erection again, you can put this thing on and you guys can go all night long.
Wow.
It's pretty cool.
What's this one called?
It's called the Everlaster Stud.
Of course. What a stud.
Now, that would probably be good because we get tons of emails all the time about what do we do about premature ejaculation and all that kind of stuff. And it is a process. I mean, Emily has the app that you can download.
Kegel Camp,
there's a lot of different processes, but it takes time to get to that point. So if you need an immediate fix, that would probably be a good one.
Yeah, he just straps this on and it's like, what size is it?
That fits.
How do you decide? But how long is the penis?
Well, the penis is about 6.5 inches long.
Oh, the 6S, the iPhone 6S.
Yeah.
The average size of the penis, 6.5, right, okay.
I didn't know that there was that comparison.
Well, it just came out. It's easy for everybody to be like, oh, really? God,
so 6 inches fits right in your
hand. All penises are fine and beautiful.
So you have the Everlaster. Now, that kind of brings up a big point. Now, I think 2016 has been the year of pegging into the mainstream.
So. Yes.
I swear, because there's a TV show that I'm really into called Broad City.
Yes, I love Broad City.
Broad City on Comedy Central. It's freaking hilarious. And they spent a whole episode about pegging.
Really?
Right.
Which was hilarious and awesome. But again, that's something that's coming into the mainstream.
Three, four years ago,
when we were in San Francisco, a girl came in to the studio and she's like, oh, I just pegged the guy for the first time.
Right.
I'm like, but what the hell are you talking about?
Exactly.
You know, and now it's just like all over the place. People in the mainstream pretty much know what it is.
Pegging's like the new squirting.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I feel like
pegging
this is all about squirting.
Pegging's squirting.
Yeah, you can do it. Okay. So let's talk about pegging. I mean, when you started out, you were like, I've never swam. You weren't into any of this stuff. And now I'm assuming your lifestyle, I don't know, has evolved into more incorporating more of this stuff?
Well,
more of your products? More of your sexy, fluffy,
I probably test every product we make. We develop a lot of products. You know, Menace, you were mentioning, how we've gone from one product to 400. We have invented the majority of those. You know, some we made variations like a blindfold. You know, that was invented about, 4 billion years ago.
Yeah.
There was actually a dinosaur fossil skull that they found with a blindfold on it. The blindfold.
So it's sexy. Take away one sense, everything else feels really good.
Uh-huh. Dinosaur blindfold.
Right. I love it. But pegging, okay, so
it was bedazzled.
When were you first aware, that anal play was a thing for men? Like, when did that start coming into... what was your experience?
Well,
when did you find out about it? I just found out about it a few years ago.
This is actually a good... good question.
Good topic that you bring up because, for most guys, this is... their anus is exit only,
Yeah, forbidden
fruit. Straight guys.
And, of course, we don't feel the same way about
not
a woman's
gay men.
Anus,
yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
A woman's anus is, for entry and, exit. It's our double standard that we get to apply because we're men and this is America, god dang it, and that's the way it goes, right? Until pegging comes along, and then women now get equal opportunity. if the guy's into it. Mm-hmm. And there's some barriers to the guy being into it. Most guys, probably, if you just popped a question to them like, hey, can I, you know, stick something in your butt? No. Right?
Right.
Pretty easy to say no to that. And it's interesting because, you know, back when we were putting people on Velcro walls and Velcro sheets, the lady said, yeah, if I could get out, I'd give it a try. Most guys wouldn't even say, no, I won't even give it a try. You know, which kind of talks to a lot of the ignorance of men, mm-hmm. of young guys especially, because I think the older you get, you know, the more experiences you have.
And more experiential, you're open to them.
But, you know, for young guys, it's pretty
right. They're like,
focused.
No way, yeah. Like that would make me gay, or it's taboo, or whatever it is. But they don't realize that the prostate stimulating that could feel really good for a lot of men.
And a lot of guys haven't had the opportunity. They haven't had a finger in their ass, the correct way to stimulate the prostate. So, you know, it would take a savvy woman to introduce this to perhaps a willing guy.
Right.
And if the guy's open to it, then they can, you know, they're on their way to new discoveries.
Right, but getting both of those, yeah. You know, the woman open to it, understanding, and the guy wanting it, so, and then even being able to communicate about it.
Yeah, and, you know, the weird thing is, it was a guy that helped me discover my prostate, sort of inadvertently.
Okay, what happened?
How'd that happen?
Well.
Yeah, inadvertently.
Inadvertently. So let's rewind back to when I'm in the Marine Corps.
Okay.
Okay, so every year we have a physical exam. And every year, you get the flight surgeon's finger up your ass so he can check your prostate.
Right.
Right? Well, this is, of course, for us, guys, you know, Marines, this is the worst part of...
Why are they checking your prostate at that age, though? For fun?
They're like, hey, I know the Marines, and this isn't really that fun. Yeah, it's not a walk in the park, but this could be fun.
U.S. Naval medicine has never made total sense.
Yeah.
You know, somebody thought it would be a great idea.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. But I think for, you know, just for overall health, you know, tracking a male's health over perhaps a 20-year career, you got to have some sort of baseline. And if you don't start sticking your finger up your ass in an early age, you really don't have a baseline for, oh my God, you know, maybe by the time you're 40, your prostate's the size of a tennis ball or something like that. But if it's always been the size of a tennis ball, no big deal. But if you discover this for the first time, it's the size of a tennis ball and decide to take it out.
So they did them every year. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, that's a normal size tennis ball prostate. Let's put that back in.
Right.
Yeah.
Too late. So so my flight surgeon, I got my cherry busted. My anal cherry busted by my flight surgeon.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And the first time you're in there, it's,
I mean, he was doing your prostate exam.
Yeah.
He wasn't just like drunk.
No.
And,
well,
okay, got it. Just popping the cherry.
No,
you popping the cherry. I'm just being clear here.
No,
okay.
But thanks for the fantasy.
Yeah.
So, you know, with most guys, you know, they're used to the hernia check where the guy, you know, puts his hand, you know, right next to your nut sack and stuff, and turn your head to the left and cough.
Yeah.
And, you know, the other
That's
thing.
Fun too. Yeah.
So they're already around your junk.
Right.
You know, the next thing is, you know, with the glove, and here comes the lube, and it's like, that was my first experience with lube too, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Big old blob of KY jelly coming at you.
There you go.
So in his finger goes, and, you know, hits my prostate, and I feel this sensation at the end of my penis. Not like deep down, but it was just... And it was like one of those little bink, like, ugh, what was that? And it did not feel bad.
Okay.
Okay. So, but it was one of those, wow, what was that? Mm-hmm. But I didn't turn around and ask him that because it's just,
It was my own. Like, Doc, could you do that again? Right.
That was my, hey, could you leave that in there for a few more minutes?
Right.
Let me wriggle on that. Just, pardon me. So that was the first time.
Okay.
And then, you know, every year, it's that same kind of thing. So I learned you have to learn to relax during this part of the exam, or else, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's more painful. Just like I say, for the number one anal sex tip, one of them is to breathe
and
relax and use lots of lube.
You got to relax. And so I tried this, and again, this is years before sport sheets.
Right.
You know, very straight-laced, very hetero-focused, and I got a guy's hand at my ass. So... Every year, we always got treated to that. Here, and the other thing is that everybody had the same exam. So everybody knew that everybody else has had, you know...
The finger.
Doc Rogers' finger up their ass.
Right?
And so we all talk about how miserable it is. So guys are talking about their buttholes.
Right.
But in this context of, oh, yeah, Jesus, I got to go get the finger wave.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, you know, say hi to the, right?
Right.
And then the flight surgeon's joke was, you know, when he has your his finger up your ass, he puts both hands on your shoulders.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's the paranoia.
Right.
So...
I
discovered that, okay, there's some sensations here. All right, so let's, I got to hit the rewind button again tell you about how I found my testicular cyst on my balls.
Okay.
On my left testicle, benign, thank you very much.
Thank God,
But I heard this report about testicle self-exam, because they were talking about breast exams, and, mm-hmm. you know, men should do this too. And so I thought, okay, so I'm playing around with my nutsack, which I'm usually doing anyway.
Mm-hmm. As long as you're there, right?
And I feel this little tiny bump, and I'm like, what's that? So I told a friend of mine who was a medical, whatever, you know, pre-law, pre-med, what's the difference? And she said, you need to get that to a doc. So anyway, I go to the doc, and, you know, my point is that I started examining myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then after this flight surgeon thing, you know, with that kind of like little sensation at the end of my penis. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I tried it myself.
Good.
If you know what I mean?
Right.
I'm kind of a spelunker.
Right.
You
know, right. You're mm-hmm. exactly.
Yeah. And
you're a pioneer.
Yeah. I'm my own pioneer.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So this was, this is my intro.
Okay.
To my prostate. So I know there, I knew there was some good stuff there. And when we came out with the strap-ons, at first we made them for lesbians. Mm-hmm. We had a girl who was our bookkeeper was mm-hmm. a lesbian.
Okay.
And she designed all these strap-ons that we had. And so we sold our strap-ons for lesbians. But then couples started buying them.
Mm.
Hetero couple, and we're scratching our head going, what the hell are they doing with that?
Yeah.
Right.
And this was during this early thing of when pegging was, you know, before it really hit.
Right.
People were doing it.
What year are we talking about here?
Oh, God, 12 years ago?
Okay, right. I see? Mm-hmm. I have to do this for 11, so right.
And, you know, a lot of this comes from, a lot of these ideas come from porn.
Mm-hmm.
Because porn's kind of on the leading edge of, okay, what's the next craziest thing we can do, right?
Right.
Well, let's start. You know,
but how do you, right? So then, God, I mean, well, we have a question actually from a listener who really wants like the play by play of, he wants to get into pegging. So we'll get to that in a minute. But what I wanted to ask you also was about like, how did 50 Shades affect all this? Cause I was so happy when it came out. Like, thank God, you know, people are talking about sex and bondage and it's sort of becoming more mainstream. But I feel like you guys must have been like, thank you, universe, right?
It was awesome.
Cause you're like, we already have all you need and you don't need to build a red room of pain and you don't have to spend all this, you know, money on like crazy stuff. But this is like great. You have everything. You have the range.
Well, we were doing this sort of an intro line called Sex and Mischief. And it was right during the time when the books came out. And I think that was about 2012.
Yep.
And so we did this black and white boxed release of really kind of basic, you know, soup to nuts, your basic bondage.
What is that? When you say basic bondage, what does that involve?
Handcuffs, blindfolds, a little feather ticklers.
This, I can't put this down.
A little tiny, yeah.
So
you're holding.
Okay, I've been holding on the tickler.
You're holding
yeah.
a little feather tickler with yeah. the plastic wand.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what baguette. Nice okay.
So, and so it's, again, it's very easy on, easy off. You can get out any time. Everything's safe. We have our, you know, beginner bondage kit, which has, four cuffs attached to straps. Okay. And you can, you know, tie those to four poster beds
right.
or tie them around the,
like you can't really mess it up with the Velcro. Like Velcro, I love Velcro. I mean, yeah. I've always loved Velcro.
What would be an intro kit, you think?
Well, that's what you just said. Oh.
Would it be those?
That's the intro kit he was saying.
That is the intro kit.
Exactly.
Okay.
Like a few cuffs, like hand, like your hands,
couple,
for your feet.
Yeah, a couple different intro kits. We have like a love slave kit, which has four cuffs, a blindfold, and a little feather tickler mm-hmm. on it, which is, you know, very popular.
Yeah.
We have the less expensive version of the under the bed kit that you have, mm-hmm. Emily, which is called the bed bondage kit.
I love it. So you know I have restraints under my bed at all times. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and you
so
can
my
just,
housekeeper comes, I have to like tuck them
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
But yeah.
She lifts the mattress just to
she already knows everything. Right. We've talked about it now. Right. We had to come to Jesus after 3 years. I'm like, what do you think I do?
Yeah.
She's like, I just think you're kinky. But she didn't know about my home. Anyway, it was a funny story. But yes, so she knows. But you could, not everyone has to know, but they're always available.
Right.
The under bed restraints.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of, when people read the 50 Shades of Grey book, they were either going to go all leather, you know, for the first time, or they were going to have some kind of, they didn't,
they don't know where to start.
I don't think people wanted ropes.
No.
So we gave them these straps, the Velcro and stuff, and made it very, very safe, very easy. And I think the world responded. Our sales almost doubled.
I'm just going to ask. That's what I'm saying. It must have been awesome.
It was insane. It was probably one of the most difficult years we've had. And it was the difficulty was keeping up with the demand and stuff. And it was just, you know, we were falling all over ourselves. We were running out of money because, you know, we had to keep spending more. And
I get it, dude. Mm-hmm. Having your own business.
And so it was a huge, huge boost for us. And what it also did in the industry was the other manufacturers that were making rubber dildos and stuff said, let's get on the bondage bandwagon here, you know, because it's becoming very popular. So we had, as a result, a lot of competition coming out.
Right.
You know, copying our products and stuff, you know, Me Too stuff. And, you know, it was a little frustrating. However, we're still here. We're better than ever. We've got a new line out. We haven't slowed down a bit. So, you know, I think overall the competition has put more bondage products on the walls.
Right.
And on the internet, so the more people are seeing this than ever before.
Right, now it's everywhere. But you guys were like the only ones I knew. You're still the only ones I know and
Thanks.
Love.
Thanks, Emma.
Okay, I think we want to, I think we should get into some emails.
All right.
We've got some good ones here. We found some emails, particularly that I think you can help answer, and Menace.
I have the world's squeakiest seat, by the way. I'm sorry.
Okay. I had that before we traded.
Yeah.
Notice we're getting new chairs in here. We're getting new chairs in here. Okay.
Need some WD-40.
Thank you, everybody, for emailing.
Need some of that lube.
I do have that lube.
Yeah, let's lube.
I've got vats of lube in the closet.
That's flight surgeon lube.
So no worries about that. Okay, everyone, thank you for emailing feedback@sexwithemily.com. Or like Mena said, so easy. Go to the Ask Emily button on the site.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't say that part, but you did. Yes, you can go to Ask Emily, ask the question directly through the site, or leave a voicemail, because we will be playing your voicemails on the show. And that number is 818-ASK-SWE1, 818-275-7931. Okay, so the first question is about pegging. So we get a lot of them. I don't think that we got these questions 5 years ago,
no even,
3 years ago. But
no
now
way.
It's like, oh my God, I got to save earmark. I knew you were coming to the show. I've been wanting you in for so long. So, dear Emily, I've always been interested in anal play. My wife and I have a great sex life and continue to grow in this area. We have used toys on one another in the past with great results. Recently, we've been discussing pegging, and she seems open to it. However, she's nervous regarding the role reversal. My question is, do you have any recommendations for the best strap-on harnesses? I definitely want something that will allow her to feel sexy, comfortable, and is good quality. If the harness is uncomfortable or doesn't fit well, I know she'll be more self-conscious and embarrassed and will be reluctant to try, hoping for some guidance. Brian, age 42, Houston, Texas. So I feel like this is more about like the how to do it, you know, like how does, yeah, which harnesses to get stuff. But I'm wondering though, also like with the, like, are couples just like, hey, tonight, let's sit home and like Netflix and peg, you know, like, is it, how much like prep, you know, has to go into, what is she, you know, we could start with buying the product first. So what would you recommend for a beginner strap on?
Well, we make a couple different products specifically for pegging. We make the newcomer's kit, which is a very, very simple strap-on harness with a tiny, little tiny dildo. Real, real slender, maybe about as big as a guy's finger.
Okay.
You know,
For starters. Right.
And then we do another one. It's called the Anal Explorer Kit, which has two different sized dildos.
Okay.
Or, you know, the
little step
starter
it up.
Mm-hmm. And then a little bit bigger.
Okay.
So I this is a very, very, this needs to be discussed. This is not something you can, you know, pop on your partner, like,
right,
come out of the closet with a strap on.
Yeah.
On,
right.
Hey, Brian, tonight it's yours, you know, and
right,
I'm giving it to you. Know,
well,
like,
this is what I wanted.
So you really need to.
I want to break it down because let's say he's like, okay, great. You know, we'll go to Sports Sheets, you know, all these products you talk about, we'll get it. But then it's home. And that's what I'm saying. She's like, well, tonight, you know, what does she have to do? He's saying, you know, so she's not as nervous. What
right
is that? How she's do you prepare? Walk me through the like experience.
Well, if you. Guys can maybe relate to this, that think about the first time you bring a new tool home, a new power tool, or a new drill, okay? You want to find out where the switches are, how to plug it in, if it's cordless, how the battery snaps into it. You have to familiarize.
Right.
If you're going to use this tool to punch holes in wood or something like that, you want to have an idea. You don't just stick a brand new drill right up to a wall and pull the trigger and get great results,
okay?
I mean, you could do that. You eventually get the hole in the wall with the drill, but the thing is, the guys can relate to that. Okay,
right.
You know, I understand. So what I'm talking about is the woman has to, Brian's partner has
to get comfortable with the drilling.
Get this product, and I'm going to encourage you to get a sport jeans product because it won't break. It won't break your heart right in the middle of your scene.
Right.
We make good quality, guaranteed for life products. So it's important to get a good quality one. We have silicone dildos.
Right.
And that, you know, does that, they're all body safe.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. But what about like the process? Like she should wear it. You're saying take out the drill and plug it in. Like you're saying she should wear it and walk around the house.
Absolutely.
And be, like doing the dishes and like practicing with the peanut. Like I've tried it. You know, you're like, whoa, I got this on.
Guys take it for granted because we were born with this thing. Women have never worn a, you know, if you've never put a strap on with a dildo, a woman has never had anything like this. The weight, it just feels, you know, different.
Yeah.
You want to put it on ahead of time. And if you're going to surprise, if you've already talked to your husband about this, you'll want to put it on before he gets home and do the dishes, make dinner.
Really? I'm comfortable and you start like thrusting. Okay.
Yeah. And walk around. I mean, strut. And then the other thing is that the woman has to practice thrusting or humping.
Okay.
Because
what does she practice on?
The couch, a pillow, or just actually moving her hips. You know, when you've got the strap on, you step into it, you pull it up to your waist, you pull the belts tight, you tighten the leg straps, and you get it so it's comfortable.
Okay.
You put the pad that's in front of the dildo, that's in back of the dildo, right up against your pubic mound. And you have to position it carefully so it doesn't, you know, crush your clit. It doesn't hurt. It doesn't rip your hair if you have any hair left.
Right.
You know, you want to find these things out.
That's a whole other show. Right.
Check this out. If you still have hair and you're putting a strap on and you start thrusting with it and it starts kind of like yanking your pubes, guess what? That is not going to be an enjoyable experience.
It's going to hurt.
It's another.
You got to put underwear on underneath it or something, no?
You could. Yes, you could do that.
Right. What if you were like, I want my bush?
But if you want to keep your bush, putting underwear on is a great idea.
Okay.
So it's kind of sliding.
You got to watch out for the pubes.
But these are the kind of things where.
This is what I'm saying. I want to know how to actually do this.
Yeah. So while the woman's getting used to wearing this, and she's got to teach herself how to thrust. And I think most women would be more comfortable doing this by themselves than their partner.
True. Don't practice on him the first time you thrust.
It's scary for a guy who comes home, you know, on our pegging date. Okay. I'm going to get stuck up my ass tonight.
Yeah.
The woman also has performance anxieties, just like men get performance anxiety. It's like, oh my God,
do they have erectile dysfunction with the harness?
Women do, because, you know, I've seen ladies at these public shows like the Sexual Health Expo that you're going to go to. We've put women in this and, you know, had like humping contests and stuff. And most women, I'd say 99% of women, don't know how to hump. They don't know how to thrust their hips.
Mm-hmm. Right. Never have to hump.
It's not in their sexual repertoire. Mm-hmm. So you have to practice this because you don't want to feel, if you feel silly, if you feel silly doing it, if you feel like a failure, it's not going to work for the couple.
And it's already, we talk about laughter at the beginning, like sex is fun. You're going to laugh. It's not going to be perfect the first time. Like you might do something funny, weird, strange with it. Who knows?
And here's
but miss the hole for a second.
And here's the other thing is that there's no feeling in a dildo for a woman. The feeling she's going to get is if the dildo is riding on her clit, it's going to be pleasurable. But she's not going to really feel that until she thrusts and has some, you know, feedback from the guy's body. Mm-hmm. So if there's no feeling, like a guy has, know when I'm in your butt.
Right.
I can feel
exactly.
That.
Yeah.
But when the woman's pegging, she can't feel.
Right.
Is it in yet? So you got to be looking. You got to get the nutsack out of the way. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Right. Got to communicate.
And you've got to use a tremendous amount of lube, more than you think is necessary.
Right.
You know, the guy's got to have his butt lubed.
Right. But does not lubricate itself.
You know, they make anal shooters and stuff like that.
Anal shooters.
I mean, you can't shove enough lube up your butt with your fingertip.
Okay.
I don't think.
Probably not.
So there's some prep in there because the guy doesn't want it to hurt. You know, the girl doesn't want it to hurt the guy. The guy certainly doesn't want it to hurt. So the guy needs to have a lot of lube in his anus, in his rectum, right?
Right.
And then you can do this where I'd recommend where the guy lays on his back and pulls his knees up to his chest. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that way the woman can take a hold of his balls, his penis, and you know, play with his balls, with his penis.
All right, because he's back up, right?
Mm-hmm. But she's going to have to put her hand down on her dildo and guide this thing right up to his anus.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to have to probably, I recommend, relax, breathe, but bear down a little bit, like he's going to take a dump.
Okay. This is really, this is what I wanted these specific details. Okay. So, man, you go home tonight with this. Yeah.
And this flexes the anal sphincter muscle. Uh-huh. Okay. And then the head of the dildo goes right into the anus. Okay. And then he relaxes. And she doesn't start thrusting right away. You just sort of let it sit there and let the guy breathe.
Okay.
And then, you know, obviously, if in this particular position, if she's got him by the balls, which she should have, right?
Right.
She can play with the head of his penis. She can stroke him, jack him off with a lube that's still in her hand.
Right.
And go very, very slowly and listen to him.
Right.
Okay, that's fine.
A lot of communication.
You know, okay, you can go deeper. You can go deeper. And the dildos that we have in our kits are smooth. They don't have ridges in them.
Okay.
Because the ridges at first are a little too much
sensation. Yeah, no, you really
want
to start, like, if you've never, I would say the beginner kit, the Explorer.
It's smoother than your finger.
Okay.
You know, and that is a really good way to warm up, too. You know, before the dildo is, you know, fingers in the anus.
Right.
But, you know, we're really talking about when you've got it on. And then not until probably it's all the way up to the hilt and the guy's like totally relaxed. Does the guy say, okay, you know, give me a little thrust.
Okay.
And you just pull out a little bit and see how that
thrust,
goes.
And then she's like, you thrust.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now this is where the woman has to practice, because if she's not a good thruster, if she just sort of jerks her hips forward, all of a sudden, you know.
Ouch.
Right. And that's why you got to be really gentle. You have to kind of know what that, you know, when you send your stroke, you got to know.
I feel like I would understand what a guy goes through whenever, even though there's no feeling, like all the emails I get from guys, like, I've never had sex with them, I'm so worried. But really, this is the moment where you got to be communicating and, like, I'm thrusting. Does it feel good? Communicate.
Yeah. Yeah. And then,
Every moment you need to communicate a lot, obviously, if you're in pain during sex. Communicate all the time. Communication is a lubrication.
I saw that on your sign.
No, I know. Really, these are my top quotes. Yeah. I mean,
that's
pretty
good.
I can only put three up. Okay, that's very helpful. Do we answer all Brian's question? Age 42 from Houston. Brian, I think this is, you get the expert here.
Yeah,
explain
you
this
do.
To you, but
she's got to practice, put it on,
okay.
Rehearse.
Thank you.
Also, could you, your website again, sportsheets.com.
Right, cool.
You can see all this stuff.
Exactly. Another email? Emily, first of all, I want to thank you for putting on an awesome show. I've been a longtime listener, and your show always seems to get better. Also, Menace, Craigslist Freak of the Week, is hilarious.
Oh, nice. Yeah, so if you don't know, I'm part of a morning show in Los Angeles called The Woody Show on Alt 98.7. It's a iHeart radio station. You can find it on iHeart. But we do a segment on our show called Craigslist Freak of the Week. So we look for, like, the craziest ads you can think of. We pick three of them, and then we read them off, and then people vote on which one they think is the freakiest.
It.
We actually did one today, and today was...
What was it?
Let me see. I have the list right here. I know
okay,
one
well,
of them...
I'll keep reading the email, and then you
can
find it.
Yeah, keep reading, and
okay.
I'll
so
read
he
them.
Loves you. Okay. Anyway, my dilemma is this. My girlfriend's 26, and I'm 27. We have an amazing, loving relationship. We've been together for almost 2 years, and we've been through a lot together. I almost died in a motorcycle accident last year.
Oh, damn.
That's tough. And our struggles have only made us stronger as a couple. The problem is our sex life is a hellacious roller coaster. We go through periods of stellar sex and keep our heads up, can't keep our hands off each other, to times like now where we go for a few weeks and barely even touch each other, let alone being intimate. Is there anything we can do to avoid these ruts altogether? Thanks, Tyler, age 27, Texas. We got two Texans.
A lot of Woody Show listeners in Texas.
Yeah. A lot of them here too.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've this is common, I think, in all relationships, that your sex life is going to ebb and flow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And realizing, I like Tyler that you realize that you're in a rut and you're talking about it and you're emailing it to me, and it sounds like you guys still have a connection because at least you still have the ups and you got some downs. So, like I always say, talking about sex can be great aphrodisiac. If you guys have never actually even really talked about it, and like, hey, is there something that you've been wanting to try? We'll get into like some good beginner things. Like maybe you've never been, maybe she's got a fantasy of being blindfolded, or you want to be blindfolded, you know, role playing, trying sex toys, sex outside the bedroom. I mean, we talk about, gotta go to our website and search. We've got a lot of tips for, you know, spicing up your relationship and different things you can try. But again, like, sometimes just saying, like, hey, and I know this might seem really hard, Tyler, like, you're like, but sex is supposed to be easy, and we're not supposed to talk about it. And I can't tell you, like, the couples that talk about it more do a better sex. And it could just start with, like, love the sex we're having together. Has there been anything you want to try? I mean, you guys can take a piece of paper and write down things on your bucket list, like three things you want to try this year. I mean, really just getting it going and just the act of just talking about it and experimenting with a few of these things or exchanging ideas will get you on the right track. And you'll always be like, well, it's getting a little low right now. Like, let's whip out this, you know, tickler. The something. But what would you recommend? Like, Tom, anything for sports sheets? I know you have a lot, but like, besides like the bonded, is there anything or that we haven't talked about that might be cool to be like, let's try this? Because if you've got a bevy of, like, I know I'm lucky. Thank you. Again, universe, but I've, you know, lots of toys to choose from in my house, lots of things, but a lot of people don't have anything. Never started. They don't have things. So what would you recommend?
Well, I think that for somebody like your emailer who's cycling. Uh-huh. On the roller coaster, I think that is pretty natural, like you said.
Yeah,
you
know, people is, guys. It's fine. Flow, yeah,
and
it
that happens. You're not having sex, you know, every night, every week. I think that's very natural. I think if both the couples want to have more frequent sex, but they just find themselves sort of in that valley, then it's time for a sex date, and you just call it. You say, you know, if you haven't had sex in 7 days, all right, 3 days from now it's our sex date.
Right.
And then you plan something around that.
Yeah, we did a great show about scheduling sex. I think it was called Scheduling Sex. It's a great podcast. People really liked it because I used to think scheduling sex was like, oh, that's going to take all the thrill out of it. Yeah. No, it actually allows you to know that.
She's now on board.
Really, I'm so on board with it. Yeah. So I have a sex date, and what do you bring?
Well, I jump into a store, and if they've never tried any restraints or bondage, right. I would start with a blindfold.
Yeah.
Bring a blindfold home. And if you don't want to buy a blindfold, make one out of something at home.
A necktie or whatever, right?
Yeah, something comfortable, and play some games, you know. Bring in some ice cubes, you know, do some sensation things, and it's all foreplay,
right?
But if you schedule this, you can have a tremendous amount of fun,
right? I think foreplay is key. I mean, I'm always saying this too. Do I have a foreplay starts after the last orgasm? That's my other quote on the wall. No, but it is true that foreplay, I think, is just lost a lot in relationships, and I think they just think about that as the intercourse, but there's, you know, sex is fun. There's a lot of playing to do. There's a lot of fun. It's not just about someone oral sex and making out, but you'd actually have extended foreplay, which will get you both excited again and connected. So.
And you know, one thing that I would recommend, and I think this works for a lot of people, is a blindfold and a set of handcuffs. And it's not just because we make bondage. You know, it's certainly one of the advantages. But if you blindfold and handcuff your partner, they have no responsibility whatsoever to your pleasure. It's all about them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it takes that whole performance anxiety off one person, the person who's blindfolded or handcuffed. They don't have to do anything.
That's so nice.
And it just, it really sort of frees up that one partner to just go for the roller coaster ride of ecstasy. And, right. You know, I mentioned the ice cubes, a feather, a little tickler, something that it's absolutely liberating when you put a blindfold on.
Right, because you don't know what you're releasing control.
You don't know what's coming next. And, you know, if that doesn't get you going into it,
right. That'll do it. And just putting the blindfold on does, not only is it like, you know, kind of this mystery, but it also, you know, you take away one sense like eyesight, then it makes everything else more heightened. And it's a freaking good time.
Yeah. And I love the idea about you writing down, you know, three or four
bucket
things.
List. Yeah. And that then, works. I hear people then, all the time be like, thank you.
And swap lists.
Yeah, swap it. It's good. So okay.
I never knew that you wanted to do that.
I do want to do that. We'll do it after the show. And we're also, okay, so thank you so much for being here. That's all we have time for. This was amazing.
Oh, real
Tom.
Quick though.
Here, oh, God. Oh, you got your guy, Freak of the Week.
Freak of the Week. Yeah. Go. So these were the things that people had to vote on. So number one was this guy who claimed he used to be a medical doctor, and he can do medical-induced orgasms.
Okay.
He can come to your house, which was kind of creepy and scary. Then the other guy wanted to wrestle you and then worship your feet. So he wanted to wrestle you to the ground.
Okay.
And then, had his worship face your feet. All right, up
exactly.
Your feet.
Foot fetish.
And then the last one, the guy was just being an asshole. He just wanted, I'm looking for a skinny girl. I just need a skinny girl. And he had to be like some, like, twig or something
okay.
like that.
So, that's all he wants?
Yeah, he was
okay.
just being a dick.
Got it. But, so that, mostly the freaks of the week is mostly sexual. Are you saying freaks is usually sexual stuff? Typically,
it doesn't have to be sexual. No, there's okay. Maybe sometimes it's just Craigslist, I want to be in a diaper.
Craigslist is always good material.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Manus. Well, thank you, Manus, and thank you.
Yeah. Can I throw out to your listeners?
Yeah.
There is a special that'll be on the internet.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know this.
Yeah, and they can go on there and just type in the code Emily. Get 25%.
Oh, that's
off.
Awesome.
So nice.
It's not free, but it's pretty damn close.
No, that's cool. Good. That's amazing. And they can explore. I mean, there's so much on there. And you can also email me if you need anything about it and more suggestions. This was great. I really wanted people to get into rather than me just saying go peg, go blindfold, go cuff, you're the man.
I love hearing your story on how you started.
I know. That's my favorite. And if you guys haven't seen the David Letterman clip, you got to look that up on Velcro David Letterman YouTube. Yeah,
that's
amazing.
How it all started.
I still remember it. Yeah, it's amazing. Thank you so much, Tom. Sports Sheets. You can find all the information on the website. Thank you, Menace. You can find him at Menace and all those.
At Menace, M-E-N-A-C-E.
That's right. And you can find me everywhere. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. For more than 30 years, Vibrotex has understood that giving women options means more than offering a variety of colors. They know what feels good to you might not be what feels good to someone else. Exploring your own self-pleasure is not only fun, but it's an important part of learning what works for you. To help women explore, Vibrotex was among the first to introduce toys that rotate and twist to stimulate all your sensitive areas. A favorite of mine is the Sugar Pop. Doesn't that just sound fun? Sugar Pop. What makes Sugar Pop from Vibrotex so unique is its belly dancer-like motion that twirls the shaft around, hitting you in all the right spots. It makes it even more irresistible as a uniquely shaped external vibrator. The Sugar Pop features 4 intensity levels, 5 vibrations, and 5 rotation patterns, creating an amazing range of customizable sensations. It's splash-proof and, of course, made of Vibrotex's supple and 100% body-safe elastomer. If you're ready for one of the most unique experiences you can have with a vibe, I suggest you give the Sugar Pop a twirl. Get it? Because it twirls. The Sugar Pop is just one of more than 50 unique Vibrotex products available for your own experimentation. Visit Vibrotex.com to see the full selection or to learn more about the Sugar Pop. Thanks for listening.